My name is John Weistad. I'm a member of the Arlington County, Virginia board.
What's your, 20, 30 second pitch if I'm out there and run into you about why I should vote for you?
Sure. So I'm just completing my first 4-year term. I love serving the people of Arlington, and I'm running again for several reasons. Number one, my record. I was instrumental in establishing a county auditor, an independent county auditor reporting to the county board in Arlington, because I was concerned about how we were spending our money. I was also instrumental in establishing a waste, fraud, and abuse hotline that both employees and county residents may utilize to report potential instances of waste, fraud, and abuse. And then secondly, I have successfully steered the board in, I believe, a more responsible fiscal position in terms of moving away from extravagant and, frankly, unessential projects, things like the streetcar, the $1 million bus stops, a $1.6 million dog park, a museum, which was a white elephant from the day it opened. And I'm hoping that we're not going to be funding a gondola that connects Roslyn to Georgetown either. But that's not the only reason why I'm running. I'm looking forward to my next 4 years, really concentrating on three key themes. Number one, growing our economy, but also managing that growth. Number two, greater openness, transparency, and inclusion in the way the county does its business. And finally, a stronger sense of fiscal discipline, with cost and value being a part of every conversation.
How do you feel that those priorities and that outline differentiate you from your opponent?
Well, I think part of it, frankly, is the advantage of incumbency. I have a record to run on. I have a record of accomplishment. And I also have specific and material ideas for moving the county forward. Whereas my opponent, takes refuge in gauzy platitudes and big ideas, but not much in the way to back them up.
Speaking of things that need some ideas, what would you do to address one of the bigger issues is school seats, school crowding, and the school divide across the county?
Sure. So with respect to schools, I'm proud of the fact that I'm the only county board member that actually sent our kids to Arlington Public Schools. I was the president of the Yorktown PTA, co-chaired a school bond. But more importantly, I have been focused on schools' capacity since the beginning. I believe that, number one, we need to free up more money for schools' capacity. I've already done that. I freed up another $2.5 million from our budget this past year by taking money, reallocating it from our county building renovation budget to put it into the schools. I would have, frankly, gone higher than what I was able to muster in terms of a county board majority, but I was successful in that first $2.5 million. We also need to look at the way we are building our schools. And I pushed for an audit of school construction costs. The school board finally implemented that cost-benefit analysis or audit, and the report came out several months ago. We are now in the final stages of working out a joint meeting of the County Audit Committee, which I co-chair, and the Schools Audit Committee, so that we can sit down, look at that report, and determine how collectively, going forward, we can help hold down schools' construction costs. I know that one of the things that we can do, which I'm also already working on, is working with our county manager to streamline the school's permitting process so that we can cut red tape and sign off on schools' plans for new buildings, additions to buildings, renovations to buildings in a more timely and cost-effective manner.
How do you do all of this without considering raising taxes or finding more money? Because that seems to be really the issue in Arlington, is there's all these things everyone wants to do and nowhere else to put them.
Well, as I indicated, Max, I have freed up more money for the schools, that $2.5 million in the spring. I wanted to go higher. But we also need to look at other ways to help fund our schools. I am open to having a conversation about the revenue sharing agreement that we've negotiated with the school system. We already allocate roughly 46% of our general fund money to the schools, even though less than 20% of all Arlington households have school kids. But notwithstanding that, we know that even for folks who don't have kids or who never had kids, schools are important, because schools not only give us a competitive edge in an increasingly competitive economic environment, but they also provide for the job market, because employers want to locate in a locality where they have a strong workforce. And schools, after all, keep property values up.
Speaking of property values, talked about managing growth. What does that mean? Does that mean no more housing in Arlington, or does it mean different housing? What does that mean?
In my view, managing our growth basically means harnessing that growth. And I'm not looking to stop growth. In fact, a growing Arlington is positive. It's a reflection of the fact that people want to live, work, and play in Arlington. But just as I say that we're not Mayberry RFD, I don't think that people envision Arlington to become a Manhattan on the Potomac either. And so how do we manage that growth? I think, number one, we need to have a better understanding of the costs and consequences of that growth. And so to that end, I was able to secure the unanimous support of my county board colleagues just this past spring in directing the county manager to implement ideas for cost-benefit studies. In other words, we know that development brings in tax revenue, and that's important because the more commercial development we have, the less of a strain on our residential property tax base there will be. We strive for about a 50-50 balance between commercial property tax revenue and residential property tax revenue. But that also, there are costs and consequences to development. What's the impact on our schools, our green space, our tree canopy, our infrastructure, our community centers, our libraries, our fire stations, and so forth? So let's have these rigorous cost-benefit analyses that look at the equation and look at where the balance is. And then ultimately, let's have a conversation about widening the universe of community benefits that we're able to receive, from developers to help mitigate those consequences of growth that are not universally positive.
You mentioned office vacancy issues, but what do you do to address that when you are concerned about these extra developments when there's empty space in the county already?
Well, we are aggressively working to fill that empty office space, and frankly, we've had some good luck. The office vacancy rate in Arlington is still stubbornly high, bumping around between 18% and 19%. But let's forget, we're not alone here. And there's a number of reasons for that. You know, the office market has changed. People are teleworking, they're telecommuting, they're co-working. We've got the Silver Line that take people out to Fairfax now. So Tyson's Corner and Fairfax County are newly competitive. Mayor Bowser is a very pro-business mayor. The D.C. waterfront is developing rapidly. So we've got increased competition in Arlington, and yet we've had some significant victories. We successfully wooed Nestle and Gerber. Their new corporate headquarters for the U.S. Are in Roslyn. We're bringing in trade associations like the Grocery Manufacturers Association. We've wooed the March of Dimes, a nonprofit, Sine Wave, a high-tech firm. I mean, that's just a handful of victories we've had. But again, our competition is stiffer than it used to be, and the changing face of the market. You know, let's not forget, you know, the trend towards online retail. So our bricks and mortar retail is also struggling. So we're working hard, but you know, we're also working harder to up our game. I also think that we need to create and make sure that we maintain a climate where business wants to be. We need to continue to invest in our schools, our infrastructure, our public safety, and the metro system, which I take every day. By the way, I'm a one-car household. Metro is absolutely our lifeblood. It needs some reforms and some enhanced oversight, but we got to keep it going. So invest in those community essentials, but also we need a regulatory and permitting process that is responsive. We need a zoning and land use process that is nimble enough to adapt to changing conditions. And we need to be anticipatory of new trends in the marketplace and adaptable.
You're the lone non-Democrat on the board and on the ballot in a year where people are talking about a potential blue wave. Does your past being a Republican, independent, and now being an independent, does that help you in a local race, or is it a liability because of the national conversation this year?
So let me answer that question in a couple ways. First, I am a true independent. I do not consider myself a member of any party. I have embraced my independence in every sense of the word. I ran a rainbow coalition in 2014. I'm running the same rainbow coalition in 2018. I think at the local level, partisan politics that might have more saliency at the federal level and the state level don't have that same degree of relevance at the local level. And in fact, people forget that when people walk into the voting booth in Virginia, county board races and school board races, there's no D or R or I or G or any other party designation by that name on the ballot, because the Virginia legislature determined in its wisdom, I think appropriately, that partisanship should not be identified for local offices. When I walk on doors, and one of the liberating features of being an independent is that I knock on hardcore Democratic doors, hardcore Republican doors, and everybody in between. And the message that I'm so often receiving across the board is that people want balance, they want perspective, they want the extra conversation that I have brought as a result of being the lone independent. People think balance is better, and I'm confident that at the end of the day, on November 6th, a majority of people will agree with me, and I'm keeping my purple tugboat atop the blue wave.
Anything else you wanted to add? I think that covered it.
I think that's pretty much it. I guess I would just point out, Alex, that my opponent likes to note that he has been endorsed by so many incumbent office holders in Arlington, but of course they're all Democrats. And in my view, a Democratic office holder endorsing a member of his or her own party for public office is not news. I want to stress that I have been endorsed by three currently elected Democratic office holders: our Commonwealth's attorney, Theo Stamos, our county treasurer, Carla De La Pava, and Libby Garvey, my county board colleague. That's the news. The news is that when three incumbent Democratic office holders believe that I'm the right candidate, that I've done a good job, and they're willing to break ranks at some peril politically to themselves and publicly support me. I also have the support of 10 former school board members, 6 Democrats, 3 Republicans, and an independent, who likewise appreciate my independence, the fact that I'm bringing more conversation to the table, that I'm not just nodding my head, I'm asking questions as well.